Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also, please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions.
All right, Melissa, a lot to talk about this week. Why don't I first just start off with the markets? I don't know if you've been watching them this past week, but we certainly did have a pullback. You know, even just on Friday, the Dow is down 1.6%, which is quite large. The NASDAQ, which we know is tech heavy, down 2%. And it's really because there's this risk off trade. These are all kind of words we're using, risk off trade, because of the concerns regarding growth on the back of the potential for tariffs. But wait, before I get into it, we should say, where are you? How are you? Sorry, I just went right into it.
Whoa, yeah. I'm back on land.
Yeah.
Canada. I'm in Toronto. I'm here dealing with the snow.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's nice to be home. And actually, it's actually quite nice today in Toronto. Hasn't snowed in a few days, so that's sort of finally can get out of the driveway. And I had to change all my tires.
Why?
Came back from holiday, and my front, I have a Tesla, and the front left tire was flat. So I could pump it up with air and drive on it a bit, but then it would like deflate over the course of the day. So then sure enough, I took it to get checked, and then they checked all my tires, and they're like, all your tires need to be changed. And then I thought I was being scammed. Do I really need all my tires changed? So then I got confused. So then I made Adam take it to Canadian Tire anyhow. And then I got my parents involved. They're like, for your safety, you need to change all the tires. So now I've changed all the tires.
But, you know, that's a good part, you know, in talking about, you know, being savvy and health and wealth. Like, I mean, we also need to add on an auto component, because you never know if you're getting scammed. Do you really need it?
Well, that's just it. Like, I've had flats in the past that they say that they can get a new tire. They try to sell you a new tire, or they say they can patch the tire. But then you worry if we do a lot of highway driving, like how long do you can you drive before you need to change your tires? So I looked it up, and it seems like it's about like 50 to 70 thousand. Yeah. So I was there. So I sort of figured, okay, it's time.
Yeah. All right. Another thing we need to be smart about. So I'm down here in, I'm actually on the border of Georgia and Florida, Tallahassee. And then there's another small town. And one of my dear friends did a girls' trip to their big ranch down here, and 8 of us. So for the past like 4 days, all we've been doing is talking and laughing. And hunting. We learned how to hunt quail. It's been quite the experience. And this is like an old sport. As somebody who took us out said, like, it's almost a bit of a lost art. Like, there's a real process to it. You know, some people ride the horses, some people sit in the quail wagon. You've got the dogs that come out that are the pointers, and they sniff around the whole property looking for, and they know how to be called and all that, smelling for quails, coveys. And then the minute if they smell something, their tail goes right up, and then people dismount, and two people go at a time. And then somebody else goes and flushes out the quail, and then they fly up in the air, and then they shoot them. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be able to do that. I'd feel bad, I think, for the quail.
I know.
It's an old sport. I get it. It's a big, you know, it's a sport, and people enjoy it. I don't know what those, I don't know what like the lifespan of a quail is. I don't know if those quails are like, I don't know.
They're apparent. What's that?
I'm assuming you don't kill them and eat them.
You do.
Well, you do eat them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it, right? Like for people who do hunt, they also make sure that they eat the food that they hunt.
I'm okay with that rather than it, because, you know, I guess it's no different than fishing and then
right.
Catch, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, we're at the tail end of...
I'm pretty sure, that being said, I'm pretty sure the quail wouldn't have to worry about me. I don't think I'm such a sharp shot. Like, I don't think I would get any.
You know what? You'd be surprised, because the day before we went hunting, we went to learn how to shoot a shotgun. Okay. And a couple of my girlfriends, so we did skeets, like clay shooting. Okay. I got them right away.
Wow.
It was shocking.
Their husband
better
behavior.
Husbands, watch your behavior.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So let's talk a little. So we want to talk today about a couple of things. One, the markets, you know, there certainly has been a pullback. We'll just talk briefly on tariffs, because I don't really think there's anything too new, quite frankly. And then a number of stocks. You wanted me to look at this partnership between Nike and Kim Kardashian Skim. So I looked at that. Last week, you wanted to look at Revolve, that online retailer that's also having some pop-up shops. So I looked at that stock for you. Also, Starbucks caught my eye because if you recall, one of our first episodes, I was highlighting it. We'll get into why. And I think there's a nice update on that. And then from your perspective, you wanted to look at what?
A couple studies. One I saw, liver problems linked to supplement use is on the rise. So that was kind of surprising. Important topic to discuss that, the supplement industry is huge and people think, oh, they're supplements, they're natural, they must be safe. But in fact, there are some concerns I'll talk about. Also talked about some studies about salt and sodium that have been in the news. So we'll talk about why limit their salt. And also the Wegovy Ozempic shortage is over. And what that means in terms of people that are getting their Ozempic from compounding pharmacies, how they're not going to be able to get them anymore. Some compounding pharmacies might just ignore the rule and say, okay, come soon, and I think that's the take that Hims is taking, the big
Oh, Hims
company.
and Hers.
Yeah, I think they're refusing, and I think they're saying like, bring on a lawsuit. So that's
Okay.
interesting. And what that means for all the people that are on these drugs who are now going to be faced with not being able to get them and having to dead and get a prescription, and the price differential is big. Like, I mean, for a lot of these compounded drugs, I think it's, maybe a couple hundred bucks a month, whereas the brand name drug can be about $1,000 a month in the US.
Yeah.
So
See how that one plays out.
yeah.
Let's just talk a little bit about the market. We are still seeing markets at record highs. So it has been a huge move to the upside since Trump won the US presidential election. And just to review, that's because people hear him from an economic perspective, which is he's going to decrease regulation. He is obviously looking to spur growth. So making when you decrease regulation, obviously it opens up the floodgates potentially for more business, also more mergers and acquisitions, more optimism, less taxes, et cetera. So the markets are still on that trajectory, but of course you'll always have times, and economic data points that will push against that bullish narrative. And so the bearish narrative, of course, is concerns with respect to tariffs, that will impede growth, that you'll actually have the continuation of inflation, which is what we're seeing. We are seeing sticky inflation. So inflation isn't coming down. And that's leading investors to believe that the US Federal Reserve will not be cutting rates anytime soon. They're going to continue to be data dependent. And they are, in fact, cautious in terms of how these tariffs translate into the economy. And we did see some economic growth soften, or some economic data points soften. So that's a bit of a concern. The fourth quarter earnings, in the United States, we're just coming out of fourth quarter earnings. And that's, of course, when we get the results, but also their guidance. The results were good, but the guidance may be a little bit more tepid. So you take all of that into consideration. And the markets, as I said at the top, pulling down on Friday. That's the US markets. And go ahead.
Day. Didn't
Go
they
ahead.
say worst day in the past year or something?
That's right. Worst day, and I think I want to say 15 months, I wrote it down, was Friday.
Yeah.
So we're watching that. So definitely, just a bit of a risk off sentiment. As relates to TSX, TSX was down by 1.3% for the week. Again, tariff concerns. Interestingly, here that I wanted to point out to you, Melissa, and I didn't actually take a look at the bank stocks. But because of tariff concerns, that's what they're saying, the big six banks in Canada increased their PCLs. PCL is a provision for credit losses. And so that means, so the bank is saying, okay, I've got this amount of cash, and I'm expecting, on an average, this many people will default on their loans or have problems paying their mortgage. So they always set money aside for, business as usual, whatever they think that number is. But in the current environment, they're actually increasing that provision for credit losses because they're assuming that there could be people who will be, negatively impacted. I will just say as an aside, with the higher rates and slower economic growth, sometimes companies use tariffs as an excuse for what's actually going on in the current Canadian economy.
What do you mean? Saying that, oh, it's the tariffs is the reason that Canada's not doing well, not our own other issues that are happening.
Correct, correct, correct. And so it's sometimes easy because
Canada
otherwise
hasn't
it's
been
saying,
on both good growth. People haven't been wanting to do business here for a long time, and we haven't been on a good growth trajectory prior to this whole thing of tariffs, so we can't just blame them.
that's right. That's right. And so what also happens too is, every bank has, maybe a slightly different view in terms of what kind of credit risk they're willing to take on. And by I mean take on, like, maybe they want your mortgage business, but they don't want, Sally's mortgage business because, she quits her job all the time or gets fired all the time or, inconsistent income, right? So every bank does have, a slightly different credit risk profile. And so it is an opportunity for them to kind of, and this is me speaking how, I see it and I know it, because take a look at the financial crisis, right? Oh no, there was no problem. There's no problem. And then we have a financial crisis because the credit didn't match up to the risk profile, et cetera. So, we'll see which way it is, but just to note, those banks did that. And I did not look at the stock reaction, but I will for next time. I mean, it doesn't scare me, but it's just something to be cognizant of. Because you always say you want to buy some bank stocks, which you and I both did. We bought TD.
That doesn't sc you know, it doesn't scare me too much. I still think bank stocks over the long term. Again, because I always look at this like the market is so manic depressive. It's just up, down, crazy chaos. But if you look at like a stable banking seems to be quite stable. The thing that scares me about bank stocks is crypto and digital currency. And that could be over the long term, but
Very, very long. I think very long. We're
By that
truly,
point, yeah, go ahead.
we're in the infancy. I will point out too that the Canadian, if you're wondering where inflation is in Canada, it did come in at 1.9% year over year, so up 1.9% year over year, but gas surged 8.6%. So, just, and I say this because, for people who are like, why isn't my dollar going further? It is because we do have inflation. There was too much money printing into this country. The gas companies and the oil companies have extra taxes on them, and all they do is just pass it on to you and me. And of course, there's carbon taxes that have been raised so many times. So, you're not losing your mind when you're wondering, what is ha why can't I afford it? Well, I'm giving you the numbers. Gas surged 8.6%.
Well, I had to fill up with gas for the first time in 4 years last a couple of days ago because my tires was I had the flat tire, so I had to drive Adam's car, and so I had to fill it up with gas, and I haven't had to go through that experience, and it's freezing cold, and
Yeah. Well,
I remember how.
Adam should have done it for you.
Okay, tell him. I agree. Although I
Yeah.
was driving his car,
Yeah. Well,
so
it's so funny
let
because
him change my tires.
Les always fills up my gas tank. It's fabulous, right? And then the other week, for the very first time, I went
Well, in
into the
Winnipeg, we had full serve. Like when I grew up in
Oh,
Winnipeg, it
yeah.
was all full serve. So you just pulled up and they did the gas for
It's the best. Yeah, the other day I walked into the garage and I saw in my car a note taped onto my window, says needs gas. Les wrote me the note. I'm like, well, why A, fill it, or B, I'll see it when I get in the car. Like, what? Why do I need a note?
Yes, that's funny. Maybe he was thinking you might fill it up.
Oh, maybe.
You're like, I don't know. Not my problem.
Yeah, he's tired of filling up my gas.
That's funny.
Right. Okay, so Melissa, let me just go into one stock since we're on the markets for a second. So you wanted to look at Revolve, which also owns Forward. So why don't you just explain from your perspective what these companies are?
So these are online shopping sites. So I would think Revolve is probably one of the biggest ones. So when you go on Revolve, you can look through all different categories of clothing. It's mostly women's. They have a small amount of men's clothing and see pictures of all these different clothes and order your clothes. So I very rarely shop in a bricks and mortar store anymore. That's a rare thing. It might happen if I'm on vacation and happen to go to Saks or something. But most of the time, I shop online. And also, these companies do a very good job of, they know I do that. And so they send me ads on Instagram, Melissa. And so I see pictures of models wearing these outfits. And then I cart, I put them in my watch list. I wait for them to go on sale. That's why I always joke about how it's not that different from buying stocks online. It's the same platform.
Right.
You know how to buy clothes online, then you shouldn't be afraid to use an online trading platform for your TFSA. I don't want to get like addicted to buying and selling constantly, but that's a whole other story. But anyhow, so Revolve is a big one. I use it a lot. My friends use it a lot. The price points tend to be better. It's not one of the most, you can buy high-end clothing, but you can also get cute dresses for like $100 and then all the way
Oh.
to more expensive brands. Forward is a bit higher end than Revolve. The starting point of the clothes would be a little bit higher priced. And it's something that I always look at things that I, when I look at my credit card bill for the month, you look at what things are you seeing? And I tend to look at, if I'm seeing those a lot, would that be something I would invest in? So, I'm seeing my Apple bill. I'm seeing Uber.
Right.
I'm seeing Revolve. Now, this is mine, I've
Yes.
credit card, but so it's because it's something that I frequently recurs on mine. Yeah, so I
Yeah.
thought we could look at it and see how it's done. And yeah.
Okay. So just a couple of things here. It's up 36%. I always like to actually, let me say this. I always like to know when a company started. So this company started back in 2003, if you can believe it. So it's a
Wow.
long, yeah.
That was like, yeah, people weren't even on the internet that much then.
And the stock's up 36% over the past 5 years and 76% over the past year. Again, I like to kind of see, I always look at that just because, like, how much momentum is there? But I would also tell you it's currently trading at about $28. Okay. And at the end of 2021, it was at 82. So it went from 82 down to $28. And the PE, so we'll talk about, I should talk about the fundamentals first, but I kind of just look at anytime I look at a stock, I just kind of look at the quick metrics first to see even if I want to do any homework on it. So the fact that it is down from 2021 might make me a little bit more
But
interested.
2021 was when the peak of
I
online
know.
everything.
I
That's
know.
when people were sitting at home during COVID. You couldn't go to a mall unless you wanted to put some mask on and be so uncomfortable. And people were at home. That was the one thing that we could do. So that
Right.
would think that it would be down from then.
Right. So it doesn't even mean that 82 is the right number to be looking at as a reference point, but I still like to see it. So it's
But so
so
when did it go public? You said it started in 2000, but when did it actually?
I don't know. I'll have to check. I'll check. But so it's at 28 now, but the PE, the price earnings multiple, is at 50. So that means that the price over the, well, you do you want to try to describe it?
Oh God, this is a hard one for me. So the price to earnings ratio, and it seems like that would be high. I think you would want to normally look at one that's more under 25.
Yeah, like the mar you can always you so for a company
Overvalued
like
compared to its
it's
earnings. People are saying it's worth more than it actually is making.
well, yes, it means you have to make 50, it's 50 times its earnings. So
Oh, wow.
it's trading at 50 times its earnings, which basically means the market is assuming that it will have significant growth because you're going to have to grow into those earnings. The price is discounting that the earnings are going to grow. And that might be true. And so that's when then I look at like,
So does
why
anything
is
have a PE of one?
one? I don't think so. I don't think I've ever seen one. It doesn't mean it can't
Most
exist.
things have to grow. Because I'm just saying, like, does anything like totally equal? Like,
Sure. Sure, it could easily trade around its earnings or the market multiple, right? So you want to compare to the market multiple, and then you have to understand, well, what makes up the market multiple? Well, they're the steady eddies, they're the dividends, they're the this, and it depends on what sector. So for something like a retailers, especially in growth mode, will have a higher multiple because the expectation is that you will grow into those earnings. Because it's online, you can almost assume a little bit of a tech aspect to it as well, right? It's online technology. So tech companies tend to have a little bit more of a higher multiple as well. Is 50 times justified? For me personally, probably not. However, a couple of things. Let's look at the fundamentals, right? So normally I actually, you look at the fundamentals. So their net sales are $283 million. And most of that is domestic US. One of their growth prospects is international sales. It's only about 6% of total sales. So you can think, if that actually grew significantly, what does that do to the overall big picture? And that's probably what other people are thinking. And that's why they're okay to pay up for the stock. Interestingly as well, so when you look at a retail stock or any company in any sector, there are certain metrics that people care about. So one of them, it would be active users, or in this case, active customers. So they have 2.6 million active customers. That active customer, by their definition, means they've bought something over the past 12 months. That's what active means. But just think about that too, Melissa. Like, only 2.6 million people in the world are active customers. So does that mean there's a huge opportunity?
I think so. I think
Because
because we're coming up, people are, if this is a Gen Z or whatever the gen is after it,
you're
right?
right.
People that are currently 10 to 18 years old, in 10 years when they have their own money and they're doing their own shopping, they're going to be those active users. I think it's yeah, I think if you look at like the active users of Netflix, when it started compared to now, I think that the younger generation, it just got more adopted. Like, I still think the older generations are a little bit nervous to shop online. They don't, will I know my size? Well, the return, I don't know how to use it. What if I don't know how to, But I think that people are getting more comfortable, and I think there's going to be more young buyers. And yeah.
Yeah, and so their target market has really been, to your point, millennials and Gen Zs. And
And
when I
me,
start, and you, oh,
I'm young. I'm a young Gen X.
there you are. And I thought it was, as I looked at the fundamentals, I was like, this actually might be interesting. Because to your point, a lot of people, even like, my age, aren't going to the stores, but let alone the millennials and Gen Zs. And to your point, if you can buy a dress for $100, but you can also go to Forward and buy a little bit more luxury items, it might be really interesting. I was also just in Aspen, and I went into Revolve. So it's Revolve and Forward. There's a store there, and last year was a pop-up, and I said, "Oh, are you're still doing pop-up?" She goes, "No, we're." And this was before I even looked at the stock and the fundamentals. She said, "No, we're permanent." And sure enough, I read that they are going to be increasing kind of their brand awareness through more bricks and mortar stores.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love going into a store that is very well curated. And what I mean by that is you go into a store and they've picked out, they have a bunch of different brands, and they picked out what they think are like the best items from those different things. And I imagine that's what the Revolve store would probably be like. They would probably have some of their,
Yep,
yeah,
they
because
did.
Revolve doesn't, and eventually, the same way with Netflix. Eventually you were just buying all other stuff, and then Netflix started saying, hey, I'm going to create my own content. And maybe Revolve could potentially start creating their own brand, their own clothing. So I don't know. Like, I think it's interesting to look at or think about.
Yeah. And the other thing I like, so when I did go in the store, I was like, my God, I'm by far the oldest person here. All young people, all excited. To your point about curating a store, and again, I used to, when I worked on Wall Street, one of my first jobs was a retail junior analyst. So you would go into these stores and you would see, is the lighting good? How's the curation? How is it neatly organized? Like all of that. And the store is done to perfection, I must say. So it is very appealing.
One of their categories is ski season.
Yeah.
So they like to carry ski wear, and then they have some of their biggest influencers. You can become a Revolve ambassador too. So if you have a certain following, so a lot of people make money like this. Like if you have a certain following, some fashion influencers buy their clothes from, like get their clothes from Revolve and like post their outfits, like get ready with me and I'm buying this and this and this. And so they get a percentage cut from Revolve. And so Revolve has some of these ambassadors or influencers that they used to send on these trips to Aspen or St. Bart's or fancy places. Really good for content for social media.
I must say it did interest me. I would also just point out as well, because you want to look at the numbers, their gross margins are 51%, which seems very strong for an online retailer. And their latest quarter was really quite good in terms of their costs. So other items that you would look at, if you're looking at this on a fundamental front, what are their fulfillment costs? What are their selling distribution costs? And all of those have been improving. They also, we talked about this last time, have been repurchasing shares.
Like this. I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back shares. Yeah.
And so, Melissa, these are all things that I just pulled off right on their website, because they will have their quarterly conference call details and report on there. So these are all things that anyone can technically look at. And you have to obviously learn what does it mean and what does it matter. And that's what we're talking about. So in all these different aspects, it's improving. Their balance sheet, this was really interesting to me. Their balance sheet is debt free.
That's good.
Yeah. So all in all, from a fundamental perspective, and then what you're talking about in terms of, you know, retail and the trajectory in terms of millennials and Gen Zs, it actually does look interesting to me. I will point out two things that if you are actually interested in looking at the stock, well, a couple things. One is the consumer, there's question marks in terms of how strong and resilient the consumer is right now. It's a question mark. You have to think about that. You have to think about the economy. I'm probably on the favorable side to that, but that's your macro picture, right? So you look at the macro picture, what's the economy like, what's the consumer like, and then you kind of can do the bottoms up analysis, which is what we're doing on the fundamental front, looking at the stock. And the other aspect is, what are some upcoming catalysts? That's another thing that analysts and portfolio managers will look at. Well, there are two that are interesting to me. This company is going to be presenting at UBS's conference. So these big investment banks have conferences just for the institutional money managers. Like you and I can't go, or at least we never have been able to. So UBS is going to be hosting them. So you'll hear from the company management then. And another large investment bank, I forget which one. And that's happening in the beginning of March. So you can either wait to see what the company management says, or you can buy ahead.
Right.
Okay. But those are the up that, so you want to think, okay, if I buy this, like also there can be upcoming catalysts that could be bad news for our stock, right? Like,
sure. Like maybe tariffs would affect.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So that's Revolve. We spent a lot of time on just looking at a company specific story, but I thought that would be helpful. Just kind of to dabble in some of those key things to think about.
It's funny. Sometimes when I feel guilty about spending money on something, then it gives me peace of mind to know that I own a piece of the stock. So I'm like, well, company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, before we move on, I just want to mention one because it's a bit of an update. And I mentioned this at the top. I thought it was really interesting to look at Starbucks, because if you recall, like, I mean, I've been a Starbucks fan for eons, both the stock and the product. And one of our first episodes, we talked about the new CEO that was coming in, who's a turnaround specialist. And he had revitalized Taco Bell as well as Chipotle. And the stock has been up, let me see, 21%, I think it's 21% year to date. And it's been up since we talked about the CEO coming in. It was a news item. So I was like, let's talk about this. And, you know, he's going to be optimizing the operations, streamlining the menu, increasing the mobile efficiency. Because remember, there's a lot of people that order online and they're all standing around waiting. That's been an issue. And he's also going to modernize the store format, which I think is, it's ready for an upgrade. It's ready for a yeah. little bit of a new look. I don't know if that's what they're doing, but if they say modernize, I'm like, it, that is time. So anyway, that stock's been, that stock has been doing well. And there's an analyst out there right now that sees 50 to 60% upside over the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, I will tell you, I have started to look at Starbucks like a fast food chain. In a good way and a bad way.
Okay.
From an investment perspective, a good way, because it hooks people with high sugar, processed, addictive food that you can get quickly. And typically, like if you look at a McDonald's and they've got great real estate, and if you look at like McDonald's, I feel like it's almost becoming like that. My kids love, like they want to go to Starbucks. Like that's where
really
they go to McDonald's. They're always, oh no, to Starbucks. I'm going to Starbucks. And that they have this pancakes they've launched now that they're obsessed with. But if you look at like, it's actually like the amount of sugar, like their drinks and their food, like it's just basically, it's a lot of sugar.
Oh yeah.
But I think it's a great company. I think it's fast food.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That's okay. And I think that's what it is. And you also can get coffee there, but I think that it's not just your barista and your coffee. Like it's more of like now considered more.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Like you're going to Starbucks to get your quick lunch or snack or.
Yeah. Well, that's, if you see that transformation and that's your view, that, that means that its market opportunity will expand even more and more and more.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I didn't know that necessarily. Certainly didn't know about kids' pancakes.
Yeah, pancakes. This is a new thing. They must be testing them, but I think they're doing well.
Yeah. Actually, I'll probably buy some more. I'll probably buy some more.
I'll probably buy some pancakes. I'm like, no, you won't.
I will not buy pancakes, but I will buy the stock. And by the way, I don't, I said to someone the other night at dinner, I'm like, I'm not, you know, there's certain things in the world you can try to help change, but I'm not going to change people's addiction to sugar or tobacco. Or caffeine.
They're
so
gonna
I'll buy the stock. I'll buy the stock.
That's what I'm saying. So if I feel guilty about spending, so that's what I'm saying. So when I get upset that, oh my God, I just gave my daughter $15 to go buy Starbucks, at least it makes me feel better if I own some of the stock because, you know.
I understand. You're feeding the, whatever the expression is. So, but okay, speaking of sugar, let's talk about your views on salt. What is this new thing happening?
So there's been lots of news lately about a new study that actually came out of China, out of Wuhan, actually, that they actually, China has of all countries, the most salt consumption. It's people eat the most salt there in their diet.
Hmm.
So that's from like sauces and soups and assuming.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, so it showed that they did a study looking at when they replaced salt with a potassium salt substitute. So
mm-hmm.
I've put these before. So like new salt would be an example or no salt. So instead of using sodium as the mineral, they use potassium. What they found is people that had had a stroke reduced their risk of a further stroke by like 14% by just making that switch. And the risk of death went down too by just people that switched from using potassium, from sodium to potassium. So now just this month, the World Health Organization decreased its recommendations, saying that people shouldn't have any more than 1500 milligrams, which is approximately a teaspoon of salt per day. Prior to that, I think it was like 2300 milligrams. So
cut it in half.
So cut it. And the, and according to the American Heart Association, if you have cardiovascular risk, it should be half of that. So instead of 1500 milligrams of sodium per day, it's like 750, 800 milligrams of sodium. Now that's all great, but like, does anybody have a clue how much sodium they eat per day?
Right.
Well, they say that about 70% of the sodium that we get from our diet isn't actually from adding salt to our food. It's from the sodium that's in canned and packaged and processed foods and restaurant foods that we're eating that we can't actually see.
Absolutely.
You know, a good first step for sure is if you're using salt, if you're cooking at home and if you're using salt, buy one of these new salts or no salts and use that instead. And also start paying attention again to the foods you're eating that actually have a label and looking at the amount of sodium and doing a bit of homework and saying, okay, how much sodium do I actually eat in a day? And if you're like a young, healthy person that exercises and eats a balanced diet, it's probably not that critically important. But if you have high blood pressure and if you have cardiovascular risk, then this is something that you can really cut your risk by just making this switch. And it's really interesting. I don't know if you've heard of this product Element. Have you seen this? They sell it at food stores, and all of a sudden it has this big following, and it's completely the opposite recommendation. So Element is LMNT. It's these little tubes of sodium, basically, that has a little bit of magnesium and potassium that you make a salty beverage from, and it has 1 gram, so that's 1,000 milligrams per packet. Well, that's almost your whole daily consumption just from having one of those. So I think, if you're somebody that has cardiovascular risk or high blood pressure, or you tend to be sensitive to salt and get bloated, look, I would be very cautious or talk to your doctor before you use that product.
Okay, well, let me tell you, I just had that product like an hour ago.
Yeah, what is up with this? It's completely the opposite.
Let me ask you this, because you said something on, well, two things. We did talk about this salt substitute. The minute you told me about it, I did switch my how I use salt at the table, and I used the potassium one that you told me about. And what's it called again? Is it, what is it?
Actually, I think you bought Mrs. Dash, and I
No,
actually,
I
oh
didn't,
no,
because
you
that
did.
has
You bought
salt in
new
it.
salt.
I bought
Yeah.
the potassium one.
Okay, good. So yeah, so I can't remember if it was new salt
Okay.
or salter.
I
I'm gonna
think
win
it's new
this, right?
salt.
Okay.
So I changed that. But then one of the other things we talked about is, in order to stay hydrated, and people should go back and listen to this. It's so interesting. And we talked about how much water you should have and not have and all that. So go, we won't reiterate that. But you said that water is a diuretic. You
Yeah.
drink water and you pee it right out. So my question then should have been, and it is now, how do you get hydrated? And I thought, when all my girlfriends here, everyone's doing this LMNT, I thought the sodium would make you retain water, so you're getting hydrated.
Does make you retain water, but the pro and that's why it leads to blood pre high blood pressure.
Oh.
So if you retain water in your blood, like think about, you're increasing the pressure in your blood vessels pumping against the artery wall, and that's what
Oh.
increases blood pressure and leads to, that's why they see an increase in hemorrhagic stroke in particular when the blood vessel bleeds.
Jesus.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, it's like this has become a very fad. Now look, if you're dehydrated, then yes, you need to have electrolytes. That's why Gatorade and these things have sodium in them. So if
Okay.
you're dehydrated, then yes, that's a good idea. If you're coming from a stage of dehydration, or if you are an athlete and you are working out for more than 90 minutes in a row, or you're training for a marathon, if you're sweating, if you're outside somewhere where it's hot and you're sweating, because then you're losing a lot of sodium, then you need to do a bit of reading, and you do need to replace your sodium. And that someone
Okay.
would need much more than the 1500 milligrams a day. That's for the average healthy person who exercises 3 to 5 times a week, like nothing ex extreme. Okay.
Okay.
But I just think people, before they start taking this element, it's an interesting thing also to check your own blood pressure and say, hey, did this make my blood pressure go up?
Oh.
Some people are more salt sensitive than others. I did this DNA test, which looked at my salt sensitivity, and I happen to not be, which is why I noticed that, like, even if I have like a salty, meal the night before, like if we have, well, Chinese food would be an example. I guess they use a lot of MSG, like the monosodium sodium glutamate or whatever they're using in their food. I find that some people can't even get their rings on. I may be a little bit, and they find that a lot of, this is something I remember learning when I was doing my residency. A lot of people come in, they find that a lot of people who have their first heart attack, they'll say like, oh, I had a big night out last night with pizza, a very high sodium meal. So a lot
Oh.
of high sodium meals like fast food or pizza, they can really spike blood pressure.
Oh, that's so interesting. Had no idea. Can you believe I just had an LMNT? The other day, I put two in my drink.
Yeah, why? I don't, I mean,
I don't know.
again.
I just thought it was good for me. This is why this podcast is so helpful,
Right. So I
because I
think,
get to ask good
and you know
questions.
what? This will lead directly into our next thing.
Yes.
Supplements. People think that
Sup
taking.
wait, people might not have heard supplements.
Yes,
Okay.
supplements. So, you know, we tend to think that taking herbs and supplements and botanical, these are all, you know, healthy things and it must be good for us. But I actually read a study showing that liver problems are linked to the supplement use that's on the rise. And they found that in the last 25 years, okay, the amount of organ transplants, so people on the organ transplant waiting list for people that have liver failure as a result of drug-induced liver failure, 25 years ago was 1%. 1% of drug-induced liver failure was from supplements. Okay, now it's 7%. So that doesn't seem that crazy, but that's a sevenfold increase. So
Right.
pretty crazy to think that people there, it's crazy to me to think that any liver failure would be from someone that thinks they're doing something healthy for their, you know,
Yeah.
diet. But actually people can consume it and actually can, you know, these are also things we're ingesting that get processed in our liver. So there's a few reasons for this. So why would it be? Okay, so
Yes.
some of these supplements, they can have like toxic compounds that are things that are toxic to the liver that some people might be more sensitive to than others. So an example would be something like green tea extract. Okay. So people think green tea extract, that's perfect for me. And they might be taking a lot of it and in a one that's not regulated and actually can do damage to the liver.
My God.
Yeah, so it could be that some of these have toxic compounds, number one. Sometimes it might interact with prescription medications you're taking. So you always have to be sure to check with your pharmacist to make sure that these new supplements you've ordered in, you know, let's say you're in bodybuilding and you've got these new bodybuilding supplements, check with your pharmacist if they interfere with the current prescription medications you're taking. And the third reason is that some people are taking mega doses. So there's nothing wrong with the actual supplement. You know, it might not be the green tea extract or the Garcinia Cambogia or the turmeric or whatever is in it. It just might be the fact that someone's taking way too much.
So interesting.
Yeah. And the FDA doesn't regulate dietary supplements like it does medications. So these supplement industries are making like billions of dollars for products that don't even have to go through rigorous testing for efficacy and safety. So I'm just saying, so not that I'm saying the supplement industry is terrible. I'm just saying, know what you're taking. Look at where you're getting it from. Look at what's in it and make sure you're taking the recommended amount.
And to be clear though, Melissa, when you talk about supplements, I mean, I guess supplements is anything you're supplementing your diet with. However, let me ask you, does that also mean, as an example, vitamin D, vitamin C?
So simple vitamins and minerals are generally okay for the majority of people. It's just going to make they make a joke. It's just going to make really expensive urine. You know,
Okay.
oftentimes if you're taking in more than you need, you'll just process it and urinate it out. Except for when they're fat soluble vitamins. So vitamin D and vitamin E are fat soluble. So you actually can OD on those. They can build up in your system. So you have to be very careful about taking too many of those fat soluble vitamins. But typically the ones that I'm more referring to is you want to avoid like herbal and botanical supplements, those types of ones. So I'll give you an example. And I'm not saying avoid them entirely, but look where you're getting them from, understand why you're taking them and understanding the amount you're taking. So turmeric, ashwagandha, black cohosh, Garcinia Cambogia, green tea extract, red yeast rice. You know, these are things that a lot of like people recommend and even a lot of longevity experts, but understand why you're taking it and just understand that they're not without any harm. Some
Okay.
people can be sensitive to it. It could conflict with other medication and they have side effects.
Yeah.
Just
What?
remind yourself that like that's crazy that, you know, people are actually in liver failure waiting for a liver transplant as a result of what did I say? 7% of the people that are have a drug-induced liver injury is due to a supplement.
Yeah, no, that's insanity to me.
Hey, yeah.
Especially, when you're actually really trying to do well.
Yeah, so Other side effects can be things like GI issues, kidney stones, hair loss. So, as I was reading the study, it led me into this deep dive on, we can talk about him on another episode. Needs more, but this Brian Johnson, have you heard of him? So again, like lots, and again, it seems to be the same type of people that follow, Huberman and all these podcasts tend to also look at this Brian Johnson, and he's basically created this crazy protocol and supplement company, essentially. In his protocol that's insane of the amount of supplements he takes and what he eats, basically healthiest person on earth, but also always try to understand, like, what is their motive for selling this to you? Is there an ulterior motive? Yes, he wants people to be healthy, but he stands to make a lot of money. And he's a venture capitalist.
Well, he's a venture capitalist.
That's invested in this space. So
Well, and it's just like, I say always with investments, it's like, understand the cost to trade a share, understand, if you have an investment advisor, what the fees are and what they're charging on. And, then if they put you in a mutual fund, do they also get a fee on that? Like, and to always understand what the incentives are. It's not even, you don't even have to get to that minutia, but just understand, people are going to make money off of your money. And I was saying on a walk earlier this morning, I said, that's okay. As long as he makes me more, like and it's okay as long
it's
as I
okay.
know
I have no
it.
problem paying for vitamins and supplements if they make me feel better and if they're, but there's just remember that these people are paying a lot of money to market to you to make themselves money by selling you this product. And is there evidence behind it? And LMNT, like for the average person who's healthy and young and then no, sure, I maybe using it here and there could be okay, but if you, like I said, if you're someone that's prone to high blood
High
pressure,
blood pressure.
family history of stroke, heart
Stay
disease,
away from it. Like
I
if you have
think
high, okay.
absolutely.
Let's just in the respect of time, let's just move on for one quick second here. You asked me to look at there was a big deal announced with Nike and Kim Kardashian's Skims. And so it's going to be called Nike Skims. And I guess your question is kind of like, what does this mean for the stock? Because the stock hasn't been doing well. The stock did move up by 6.2% on the back of this news, which is six translates into $6.7 billion in terms of market cap, which means what the market feels this company's worth increased by $6.7 billion on this news. And so, I have to sit back there and say, well, is it really going to be a game changer for Nike? And they have had success in the past in terms of partnerships, i.e. Air Jordan, but they've never really kind of done a deal with an outside company and created an entirely new brand. So it's a little bit different for them. Maybe that's a nuance, but nonetheless, it's different. But it's interesting because it might be a way for them to capture more of the women's market share and capture more of perhaps women's sports. So there is that potential, but you still have to think, how big is this brand going to be in relation to the overall Nike brand, which has faced a lot of competition from those Hoka shoes? And I don't know if it's ON or OC or whatever it is. I obviously see them everywhere.
Yeah,
On, thank you.
the Adidas is now.
So to me, for me, it's still going to be a bit of a show me story. And I still think there's a lot of, competition in athleisure and in footwear. So I don't know that it's so interesting to me yet. I'm not sure. Like, I'd have to look at the overall Nike
Like, do
story.
I think my grandkids will be wearing Nikes? I don't
It
have
sounds.
grandkids. Anybody watching this, I do not have grandkids, but I'm just trying to say, do I think that in, I don't know, 30 years or 20 years, will those kids want the Nike shoes? And if you think yes, that's will they be wearing Nikes? Like, I don't know. I can tell you, my kids still wear those. All the kids still wear the Nike Jordans. They're starting to wear a little bit more of the Adidas now, but it seems when an influencer gets involved, they probably had to pay to get Kim Kardashian and Skims. Or I guess not if they're going to give her a percent. I don't know how they're going to. here, but people love Skims, and it probably will be a way to get the female.
Yeah. Because you know what? The one thing I would say about Skims, which I find interesting, is whenever I go to try to find it, never have what I'm looking for. So to me, I actually met somebody who's been one of the investors in Skims, like an early investor. And I actually really need to follow up with him because I want to tell him, like, whenever I want something, I can't, it's not in the department stores. It's not available online. So in some ways, I'm also wondering if they partner with Nike. Like Nike's going to make sure that whatever they do sell in those stores, that the production and the inventory is going to be there, which might actually lead me more into Nike versus their online store.
Right. And I
So.
think also Nike had a problem because I think, and you can look more into this, but I think that they started not letting Foot Locker sell Nikes anywhere. Now they're realizing, no, they need to start having these other companies sell their shoes. I think they were trying to own their mark, like only be the one that you could get Nikes from. And I
Well, yeah, and the reason they companies do that is because they want to retain the most margin that they can, as opposed to giving part of it away. And because if you have lower margin, that means lower profit, that means less earnings per share, that means a low, potentially a lower stock price. So I understand the strategy. I don't know
I
where they
think should get
are.
onto Revolve. I'll tell you something.
Nike should get on a Revolve.
They probably are soon. I mean, I had to buy my daughter. Her feet grew, so she needed new. She wants her new Nikes, and so I had to go online and order them. And I would have just bought them from Revolve.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, because I was going to want.
I hope these CEOs are listening to us.
They should. You know, we're
They
the
should.
consumer. Yeah, you know,
Yeah.
women tend to be the consumers, and
Yeah.
I
You
always make
never know.
like your finger on the pulse or your eye on the ball, and I always end up saying like eye on the pulse or finger on the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have
Know
our
what you
finger
mean.
on the pulse.
Yes. Okay,
Lastly, just
lastly.
to fix up, so the shortage of Wegovy and Ozempic in the U.S. is over. Okay, so Novo Nordisk has lots of stock. There is no more shortage. What does this mean? This means that compounding pharmacies are no longer legally able to compound semaglutide, which is the drug in those things, because that compounding pharmacies are only allowed to do that when the drug is considered on a shortage list. It means that the millions of people that get their Ozempic shots from compounding pharmacies are not going to be able to do so soon, and that means they're either going to go off of it, or they're going to have to look to get a prescription for the actual Novo Nordisk branded Wegovy or Ozempic. And there's going to be lawsuits because I think Hims, the company that's made a lot of money compounding semaglutide, Ozempic, is saying, we won't stop. No. And so there's going to be lawsuits. So this
So it's,
back.
yeah.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. The stock was, did you just see this in the news? Is that why you wanted to talk about it?
The stock news or the
Well, the news on the compounding, like the fact that there's no shortage. When did you see that?
Hang on, I lost you. Can you still see
Oh,
me?
yep, I can see you.
Oh, okay. Oh my gosh. Hang on. I think I saw this in the past day or two.
Okay, because the stock plummeted 25% of the downside.
Which stock? Hims or
Hims.
Norva? Yeah, see?
So interesting.
Yeah. And I'll give you one of Hims' products, so not one of these, one of the ones they sell is Rogaine is the brand name, minoxidil. It's the hair for hair growth. Men often
Yeah.
use this foam called Rogaine, but Hims compounds a version, Hims hers, they have two brands, compounds a version of minoxidil that's in a prettier packaging than the men's Rogaine and in a slightly different percentage. And you can buy it on Revolve.
No way.
Where?
Is
Yeah.
that, wait, is that for the hair? Is it a pill or
No,
is,
this is the topical.
okay.
It's in a tube and you just put it on your scalp. And it's for hair growth.
Okay, but Melissa, one of my friends, she was just saying that she takes a pill, the minoxidil pill or whatever. She said it's been a game changer for her hair.
Wow. So they say it can work wonders. The problem is some women are reluctant because it can also cause hair growth in other places.
Okay.
Some women are like, well, not worth it. But I've heard it can be, it can be great for a lot of women. And it can also cause, because this was initially a blood pressure medication, it can also cause low blood pressure.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah. But she said it's really been great.
Yeah, a lot of new hair growth. Wait,
Interesting.
did you say it decreases your blood pressure, right? That's amazing. All right, on that note, we better wrap it. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Happy
Happy
Sunday.
New Year, you too.
Okay. Talk to you later. Okay. Bye.